Harbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Tonight's date is Thursday, November 2nd, 2023. And tonight's show, we'll be discussing a little bit of the playoff rankings, the Wisconsin game, some of our thoughts on how Kyle McCord has looked up to this point. And then we will hit on Rutgers and then some of the score stuff to finish out the show, score prediction. So, first playoff rankings came out this week, and Ohio State is number one, so that was pretty cool. Followed by Georgia, then the Cheaters from up north, and Florida State, and then followed by Washington and Oregon. So that's your top six. Other teams of note is Penn State was 11th and Notre Dame was what, 15th?
15th. Yep. Yeah, so two top 15 wins right now. Yep.
So that's pretty cool. I think a lot of us kind of figured Ohio State would be their number one or two. I think a lot of us was kind of feeling one as they were going into the night that, you know, I would argue if you're going to say that resume is a big thing, that they had the best resume at anybody in the country. But, you know, Georgia and Michigan really haven't played anybody yet. But, you know, that's going to change here. Is, you know, obviously it seems like every year there's a bunch of SEC schools that probably don't deserve to be in our end. So Georgia, of course, conveniently has all those teams still left on the schedule. And so they'll be playing them. And then Michigan still has Penn State. So, you know, as most of these go every year, I'm expecting this to change some. And, you know, I don't expect us to be number one heading into Michigan, even if we went out, you know, like today. I figured some of these, you know, either Georgia or possibly both of them will, you know, as if they win, will probably move in front of us.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing that Ohio State really can do to keep themselves there would be, they would have to blow out the next three opponents. And even then you would have to hope that Michigan, if they do beat Penn State, that is a very comparable game to what you played with Penn State, you know?
Yeah.
Georgia has a better schedule coming up though. I mean, obviously those guys haven't played anybody yet, but that man, Michigan have a good end of the road schedule, which a lot of that's factored in because Michigan, you know, plays Ohio State the last week. So yeah, they do have the hardest schedule in the country on the back stretch, or hardest strength of record, I should say. But that's also because they have Penn State and Ohio State at the very end.
Yep. So yeah, pretty cool for the first week. So Ohio State still continues to be, I believe, is it them and Alabama are the only two teams that have been in every since the playoffs started, every week in the top 25. So I believe that's what I saw the other day.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds right. So I could definitely see it being correct.
So we'll talk more about that next week. As like I said, these things change week to week. The committee, you know, they have their narratives. It's, you know, it seems like they definitely know when they know how to do TV shows because they always change every week. It seems like.
Yeah, they like to keep everybody, you know, guessing.
Yeah. All right. Wisconsin. So Ohio State had they went into Madison, tough place to play, you know, ended up with a pretty nice victory. I mean, you know,
it's 24-10. I mean, you two scores at Madison, they haven't done that in forever. Yeah. So I'd take that any day.
So the defense, still looking really, really good. Obviously the Latham Ransom injury towards the end of the game was not a good thing. Still no really word about how long it's going to be. You know, you've hearing some rumors that it's going to be a few weeks, but they missed the worst part of it, but still a few weeks. Couldn't, you know, is he going to be back by Michigan? Is it after Michigan? I mean, I don't know. A few weeks. You know, I mean,
anything can happen in a few weeks. If he doesn't rehab right, you know, that could be through the rest of the season.
Yeah. So, you know, a few weeks could mean a lot of different things, you know, but we'll see, you know. You know, Mayan didn't play, and then that comes out of nowhere this week that he's done for the rest of the year. So, like, you know, I don't want to hear that about Ransom, but you never know. Like, yeah, they could come in and say, well, he had to get a procedure and he's done. Like, so, you know, we'll see, you know, that's a blow, but the secondary continues to impress with the other guys. I mean, Hancock is becoming a real dude that, then Igbinosen and Burke. I mean, those three are just like, it's just hard as hell to throw on them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm supremely confident with the back end of our defense. Like you said, the corners are just playing at a very high level that you have so much confidence, you know, going into games, and they all hit too. So they all can come up and make plays, which that's going to be huge for down the stretch. Cause you know, you got to go against some teams that really not like to run the ball. I mean, Michigan excels at running the ball, but you're going to need corners that will come up, fill gaps and hit somebody. And Hancock's done a wonderful job at that. I mean, I know a lot of people are like, well, what's the balance going to be, you know, him and Sonny on the field, is how much you're going to be losing if, you know, he's not in against the bigger teams, or if Sonny's going up against a slot receiver, and they're finding a good way to get them both out there. And yeah, Hancock, I mean, he doesn't really miss a beat when he's going against a running team.
Yeah, I don't have any concerns anymore about him going up against a bigger team.
I'm comfortable, like when Sean Wade was in there in 19. Yeah. Like, I'm not.
I think he's fine with that. And the other guys, they come up too and they make hits on the outside corners. So, yeah, I'm not nervous about that at all. I mean, he really is kind of like a hybrid corner safety, it feels like, with Hancock. So,
yeah.
Like, I think they're good there. As long as Sonny can adjust fairly well with, you know, more what Ransom was doing, I think they're fine.
Because I don't know if Knowles, I thought he did, Knowles like confirm that Sonny's going to be getting the start.
Yeah, there? He pretty much said that, you know, him and Proctor are going to be the ones going as the safeties. He said he's fine with that. He likes that, you know, Sonny's learning both those back positions to begin with. And he played some deep safety in the game against Wisconsin. Yeah. So I think they're fine there. And, you know, they have a few weeks until they really have to, you know, until Michigan. Yeah. So a team that can really throw it more, a little bit more on them. So I think they'll be fine with that. So yeah, defense still looks good. The defense line is just like every week, it seems like they're really progressing. And it's like, and when you think about when this team in general has been like lights out its best, is when that defensive line like really starts gearing up and heading into November. So like, if this continues the way the defensive line is playing, you know, then it's going to be very hard to move the ball on this defense, because, you know, they're really starting to gear up and they're really getting at the quarterbacks now and stuff. And I really like what I'm seeing with the defensive line.
Yeah, for sure. They, you know, they're looking good. I mean, it's like you said, it's that time of year, man, when they're really starting to ramp up. And that's when you want your defensive line to really start hitting their, you know, their peak, hitting their stride, is when you're going into November like this. And I mean, Sawyer was disruptive in the game. JT, you know, he did all right. He did get hurt for a minute. Sawyer and him ran into each other, but he was okay. But Tyleek Williams is just a monster in the middle. Him and Mike Hall, especially. I don't know, Mike's trying to still figure out, you know, how to stop the run a little bit more effectively, but Tyleek is a beast, and he has like 5 like deflections on the year. Damn. That is a 340-pound man getting up. But he's not like, you know, he's not Jordan Davis. He's not 6'5 or whatever. Damn. He's 6'1, but he gets up there.
You know what's funny about him too, and I know maybe it's, you know, maybe it's just in comparison with the rest of our defense alignment, that's, you know, some of them might be shorter than you think, but like, I don't know, maybe if it's just that his height is in his legs or whatever, because he looks taller than what they say he is.
Yeah.
Like when he comes out there, you think he's like more like 6'3", 6'4". I'm like, he doesn't look like he's 6'1". And,
but I mean, ESPN has him listed at 6'2". I mean, I would trust like, you know, the Ohio State sources more about that, but he, you know, he could be 6'2" though, but he's had a hell of a year.
Yeah. Hell God, Hero Canoe on that one, you know, third quarter.
That was impressive. Like, I think that was fourth quarter.
Yeah. He just throws the dude down and makes an unbelievable tackle on the running back. I mean, when you think about the, in the first half when they had the goal line stand, I mean, and played Tommy
stands up Braylon Allen. Yeah. But Hero Canoe, I mean, that one was really impressive that they trusted him to be in there in that, you know, high leverage situation. He's able to shed that block and take that running back down.
Yeah, no, very impressed the way the defense just continues to look, you know,
rally to the ball,
you know,
they make plays always. They're looking great.
And, you know, Wisconsin's, you know, it is what it is, but I mean, they are definitely one of the better teams we played on the schedule. I mean, they're in the top 4 or 5. So, I mean, it's, you know, again, another team that they shut down offensively. And, you know, shut their offense down. So, you know, really, really, really liked how the defense played and how they're playing. And, you know, going forward, you know, this is what they need. They're a championship defense, and, you know, they definitely help out that offense a lot this year, which, you know, so that's been good. Offensive side of the ball. So obviously we'll get to McCord in a minute, because we're going to do a little segment just on him. But I mean, it was really, really nice to see that Trey, how he looked in the game. And, you know,
Trey looked great.
And, you know, Day said that, you know, with Mayan's injury, Dallin's going to get a little bit more playing time. I think, you know, those two and Chip, that should be the three that they roll with, I think, in my opinion. And I think that the bulk of that should be probably Trey and Dallin, but obviously Chip is showing very valuable spots, you know, especially in blocking that when he's out there. But I mean, they finally ran some real plays with Trey that just fits him the best. That, you know, they did a lot of, I mean, we've caught about, and, you know, you get some pushback from people, and like, we've caught a lot of it, like run the gap plays with him. You know, the dude is great when he gets a hole and he sees the hole and it's just blocked straight up for him, that he gets through that hole fast, because he's a hard runner when he knows where he has to go. And then he gets to the second level. Yeah. And then he can do his things at the second level. And what did we see in this game? He was running a lot of 5-yard runs early, and then those start building up to 6, 7, and then he pulls one out of the park in the fourth quarter.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. And the thing was, like, Trey averaged 6.8 yards per carry on 24 carries, 162 yards, and his long was 33. So it wasn't like his long was like 85 or anything like that. Like, he legitimately was getting you 4 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Like, this is the best, I think, consistently that he's looked since he's been a Buckeye. In a big game like this, I think, you know, if you go back to freshman year, he did some good stuff against Penn State, but that was also kind of when it all started kind of unraveling for him. Yeah. That, you know, he hit that wall that, like, oh man, these guys really hit you back, and it never really seemed to, you know, come back to what it was before that game. Like, it's kind of like, this is finally the game after that where, yeah, it's just more dominant, and it's against a better defense too. Yeah. That, not better than that Penn State defense, but better than, you know, the teams that he usually feasts on when he has actually, yeah, like when consistent games.
Went to town on Tulsa. Yeah. It's, yeah, not Tulsa. So, I mean, he looked very impressive, and he looked very confident. And I like the runs that did with him. They cut out a lot of those, you know, the wide zones and the mid zones. You know, he just doesn't do that stuff well. I mean, honestly, this line does not block it well. And, you know,
but he did. There was an outside zone play that he did run all right, but it's because they only ran it like one time or something, yeah, like that. Like, it wasn't super predictable.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. And they've just have gotten way too predictable on their running plays. And it's just nice to see them doing something else. And honestly, still got a lot of question marks on this offensive line, but this is what they block the best. You know, when they know where they have to go with their blocks, they do okay with it.
Yeah, and I think so too.
So like, you know, are they the best offensive line in the country? No, I mean, that's not going to happen this year, but
we know that.
Like, but they do this better than when they are freelancing out there and, you know, trying to find blocks. So I just think that, you know, we've really started seeing it the last few weeks where they went more to this running style, and you saw with Trey this week. I mean, he's damn good at it. And like, and I will literally take that, you know, the rest of the year. If you somehow, you know, especially with some of the struggles on offense, if they could roll out and win the rest of their games this year, and it's because of a stout defense and because Marv is damn good, he's freaking Marv, and then, oh yeah, we're gonna give Trey 20 plus carries and that's what he's gonna look like, okay, you know, I'll take it.
Yeah. And I mean, Chip, he had 6 carries, he only had 13 yards. I mean, Xavier Johnson had 4 carries for 29. He had some good runs in there.
I liked what they were doing.
His end arounds are, he's real good at those end arounds.
I liked what some of the stuff that they were doing off with that. They really built off of that damn counter that they ran with Trey off one of them.
The orbit motion. Yeah.
Like, that's like, if like you think back about that stupid 4th-and-1 that they run with Emeka and against Notre Dame, like, now that's like a kind of a play that, you know,
now you can run it. Yeah.
They could run that and run a counter with it and you might not know what's coming between the two of them. I mean, there's different things now you have to see with that, and they're trying to do different things with it. You know, we talked about with that drag that, you know, you mentioned that Marv brought, that, you know, they used Trey to pull the linebacker out of there.
It was like the same play as what he had the big gain on earlier in the game, that little wheel route. But this time the linebacker went with him. He pulled the linebacker, you know, rode Trey, and he took him all the way with him. And that left that whole opening for Marv. I mean, of course, you know, it was a mesh route, so you got a little block from Stover there that wasn't a pick or anything, but
hey, it is what it is.
He didn't reach out for it. It wasn't a pick.
No. But I liked where a lot of that's going. I liked to see them get Trey more into the passing game. And hey, you know, Ibuka's coming back. They said he could have went, you know, this game, but they decided they didn't necessarily need him. He was like a, you know, if an emergency break glass type player. So he's getting healthier. He will be back. I mean, Stover didn't have the best game in the world, but at the same time, you know,
he didn't get targeted though either.
And you know, G did get targeted a few times. He looked pretty good, and you know what Stover can do. So, you know, going forward, the passing game, you know, Marv, Ibuka, Stover and Trey, you know, okay, I'm pretty happy with that.
And they had a nice pass to Carnell Tate too.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about that more when we're talking about record.
So, you know, I mean, I'm ready.
Marv looked great again.
Yeah. I mean, he literally is the best player. I don't know if he can win the Heisman, because, you know, he needs to continue to ball out for the rest of the year, and they got to win that last one at the end of the year with him probably getting $150 and, you know, looking the part, but you know, and you know, it's still going to be mess. It might still be hard to beat one of those quarterbacks out in the West Coast, but I mean, he has it, man.
Yeah,
he's a freak and that stuff. And them continuing to move him around a different speed, I don't know how you even guard him when he's in the slot. And you're gonna, what are you gonna pull a corner in? Like, in, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what you're gonna have to do. I mean, but if he's in any sort of motion, I mean, you can tell if someone's playing man up on him. So it's easy to tell. And Ohio State, you know, they just go from there. So he's definitely, you know, a mismatch. Like you said, Ibuka's coming back, which I don't want to like to say like Emeka would ever play like second fiddle to Marv, even though, you know, Marv is the premier.
Yeah, he's the top guy.
He's the top receiver. But, and we kind of talked about this by ourselves, but I mean, if you can expect performances like this from Trey, and I'm not saying it doesn't have to be 162 yards, but if you're going anywhere between 5 to 7 yards per carry from Trey, and he's actually giving you substantial carries and, you know, yardage to go with that, I mean, him and Marv is probably enough for the offense if McCord's, you know, doesn't make mistakes. And we'll talk about him more in a little bit, but that's probably enough for an offense with this defense that they can be national title contenders.
Oh, I agree.
But you had Emeka in there as a safety valve that if you do need to go to another receiver,
And you watch, know,
that is starting to get dangerous.
Yeah. And you know what Stover can do. I mean, he's a, you know, big time threat in the middle of the field, and you know, yeah, there's a lot of different things that, you know, they can do. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to like that. I was very happy how, you know, yes, some things need to be cleaned up, but I was very happy how the offense looked on Saturday, because you see when you kind of, when you call a good balance of plays for Trey, you know, running and passing, he's a different dude in that offense, and he just creates another dimension to it.
Yeah.
All right, McCord. So a lot of talk this week about his performance and stuff like that. You know, there's definitely some things that I'm pretty okay with him for being a first year, you know, player. And then there's some things that I'm really, really, really nervous about. You know, obviously, you know, he had the two interceptions this week. So far up to this point, he hasn't been killed with the turnover. You know, the interception against Notre Dame, he had to get rid of it somewhere. You have to make a throw because, you know, it was fourth down. Obviously, the fumble against Penn State gets called back because of the holding penalty. So he's been fairly clean. I mean, he's had a couple issues there. I mean, the you know, the throwaways and stuff have been ridiculous. You know, he, for the first, what, two were definitely felt like were not his fault. And then everyone since then, it's like they're
getting worse.
It's, man, like it's a competition to see like if he can outdo himself the week from the week before about how bad of a grounding he's going to get. the interceptions, I mean, I know the second one, I think is forgivable. You know, it happens. Some big time quarterbacks have made that same stupid interception where you just don't see a guy dropping right, yeah. there. But that first one, man,
and don't take it away from the corner. I mean, he made a great break yeah, of the ball too.
He drops into coverage. He did very well and stuff like that. You got to get better necessarily not reading guys, you know, just completely reading, you know, eye in and on one receiver, you know, that comes with experience back there. The first one intercepted sucked. I mean, you cannot make that throw on a first down play. Like that's, you got to learn to live with another day. And like, I wish he needs to learn how to properly throw the ball out of bounds. And, you know, and situations like that is, you can throw it long. Like,
well, right.
I've never seen a referee throw a flag on something that goes long. Like,
no, I mean, he's rolling out of the pocket. He could throw it.
Yeah, exactly.
Through the back of the end zone.
He could have thrown it anywhere. As long as he gets to the line of scrimmage, he actually could have thrown it 100 rows into the sideline. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, I know. And I mean, I think there was room that he could have like at least got back to the original line of scrimmage. If he did try to run the ball, I don't think he would have done much more than that. Cause he, and I, a lot of it was designed. Cause you know, it's a play action boot. So, I mean, that naturally takes you back further on your drop. So I still think he might've dropped too far on it. So he didn't do himself any favors, you know, running back 11 yards behind the line of scrimmage on that play. But I mean, that's play actions do that to you. Like you will go back further on those, but like you said, I mean, it's just inexcusable. You can't, The guy is rolling with you, man. Like, what, you were never going to make that throw.
No.
So you never, don't try to thread that, but just throw it back into the back of the end zone. Live to see another play. You had three more, you know, and you could have got a touchdown somewhere else. So
yeah,
I mean, I don't, you know, you don't want to be too hard on it, but like, it's inexcusable. And the second one, yeah, that one was, you know, not all his fault, but that first one definitely was. Going back to what you said though, or what we were talking about, like with the grounding stuff, man, that's just like my biggest part. I feel like, you know, first year starting quarterback, you're going to make interceptions. Yeah. It's just, you got to be aggressive. So sometimes you're going to throw the ball away. Where I get scared with him though, is just like there, this awareness is just like half the game it's missing, you know, yeah. Like, I mean, Josh Fryer gets beat and this one was on Fryer. I don't think this one was because McCord dropped back too far or anything like that. I think Fryer just got beat off the snap. But you can't just like, it can't be that easy to slap the ball out of your hand.
Yeah. You got to be able to.
I mean, I know the one didn't end up counting.
It's 2 weeks in a row, though, where they easily knocked one out.
Purdue got a strip sack on him. Western Kentucky got a strip sack on him. Or Youngstown State. I think it was Western Kentucky. I'm not sure about Maryland. I think maybe they got one. He might've got that one back. And then this. So, I mean, and if you did count Penn State, I mean, he's put the ball in the turf 5 times.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
four or five somewhere in there. Cause I don't know if Maryland got one or not.
Yeah. That's nerve wracking.
Especially, you know, if you're tied late in a game and you're not like, even you're driving, not driving, whatever. I mean, if you know, you go to against Michigan and Minter's like, blitz the hell out of him and smack that ball out of his hand. You know, we got to get this ball back to win this game. But I don't know what my confidence level is that it wouldn't happen, but Kyle's a pretty cool customer though in the second half too.
Yeah. You know, I've heard some of this brought up, like he does, like it is weird because you normally know what you're getting with quarterbacks. It's like, you know, like, there's not a huge stretch when they're bad, they're bad. And when they're good, you know, I mean, I know a couple of the, I was, you know, the one podcast this week we listened to from the podcast guys with Doug and Bill,
Kings of Columbus,
Columbus, that they were talking about, like, you know, JT Burr, when he had a clean pocket, he made like 70%, you know, his bad pocket, it was 50%.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but like Kyle, it's like, in a really good pocket, he's what, 90% is, what is that, like completion? Like, I forget what it was.
QBR. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah. But then
it's not completion percentage.
Yeah. Okay. But. Yeah. I think it's like more like quarterback average, like the whatever. But yeah. And then he's like in a bad pocket, he's 20%. So that's that looks bad on the offensive line. And trust me, the offensive line is very much part of what's going on right now. But it's like, that is a wild swing. And like, you do see it in the games when he's like really good. He's really good, man. He can really throw the ball all over the field. Yeah. I don't have a problem with him, but when he gets like a one bad play and then that turns into like, you almost know, like you kind of feels like depending on what he does on first down, like whether they're going to go at least drive the field and either, you know, I then be able to score a touchdown is still another issue, but they're either going to drive the field or they're going to have a three and out.
Like, no, I mean, wasn't this the one where, was it the first play of the game that he threw it from the one hash to the other hash to Fleming? And like, yeah, totally threaded like the ball. Like, I mean, that was a great throw.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm not sure why they're asking him to make that pass, but
yeah,
it was a hell. But he can do it because he made it, you know?
And then wasn't the second play like an awful throw, like,
or a sack or something? Yeah, it wasn't good. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. That's just that. He does need to learn how to speed up his brain a little bit more when he's out there. He has to realize, yeah, his offensive line, they have issues in spots, and that, you know, so he has to be have much more pocket awareness. Now some of this is not on him. The offensive line has, even though I thought they've gotten a little bit better, you know, there's a lot of deficiencies there, you know, and up until this week, there was a lot of issues with the running game, but yeah, you know, maybe going forward, you know, they can now build something off a running game that, you know, might help him a little bit more. And let's face it, the coaching staff has not called, like, in my opinion, they are expecting him to go. I know a lot of people give him crap about, you know, he checks down way too much and stuff like that. I don't care about that stuff. I mean, you look back to Dwayne and stuff like that. What was Dwayne's offense? One step drop, get the ball out. One step drop, get the ball out.
Right.
And he had receivers that could do that. And maybe those receivers were a little bit more shifty when you think about, you know, KJ and McLaurin and
Paris. And Johnny Dixon.
So, yeah, they had maybe a few more shiftier wide receivers. But you can come up with plays that, I mean, we have some big, strong guys that can get off the line of scrimmage, in my opinion. So, you know, and when Abuka comes back, he's shifty enough. And, like, come up with some different plays that, you know, he can get the ball out of his hand that doesn't necessarily have to be a wide receiver screen. I mean, he just go quick slants and different things like that. I think he's fine on that stuff.
RPO to Tate.
Yeah.
Looked really good.
Really looked good. And I just think that they have to, I think, implement maybe a little bit more of the Dwayne offense. And you know what?
That's okay.
He's proven that he can go down the field when he needs to. And he's hit some touchdown passes down the field. He's missed some stuff too. I mean, it happens, but like, I think they can build up, you know, when people say, you know, you run the ball to open up the pass, or you pass the ball to open up the run, you can do short pass and short to intermediate pass and to open up long passing. And I think they would be fine with that. I mean, they proved that with Dwayne. You know, he's just not he's not going to get the big home runs down the field. You know, like Justin and CJ were like, I don't know if he's going to have the time to be able to do that. So you gotta scheme up some better stuff to help him out a little bit more, I think.
And, you know, and they had mentioned it on the podcast also, like Justin, you know, Justin held on the ball forever. Sure. But Justin totally believed in either his escapability or Justin's accuracy on his deep ball. Yeah. And the receivers he was thrown to also, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and Jameson Williams, you know, that's a different animal than, and I'm not saying they're better than Marv, they're just different players, you know. That's, and I don't, Kyle definitely doesn't have the arm of Justin that he can rely on just waiting to the last moment just to let one rip.
He also doesn't have the, you know, he doesn't tuck it as well as Justin did, and to be
exactly, like he can't run, so he can't play that way.
And Justin took sacks and he didn't fumble it that much, so like
and we got on Justin too, we got on him for taking too long, you know, holding on to the ball too long, because Justin had a lot of good blocks. It's just delayed blitzes always got to him.
Yeah, so no, I think some of that stuff, I think they need to do a different type of passing game with him. Just like we said with Trey, you need to come up with different running plays with him. Now figure out to work in a different type of passing game for McCord. And I think they'll be okay. I don't think he's going to be Yeah, he's not going to be CJ or Justin Fields. Like, even if he has another full year under, I don't know if he's ever going to equate into that. Doesn't mean the kid can't go win a national title. They just need to, he needs to get better in some stuff. He needs to get better pocket awareness. He needs to learn to not fumble the ball, learn to freaking either get outside the pocket and, you know, get it past the line of scrimmage when he has to throw it out of bounds, or throw it long to where at least a referee is not going to be able to say, well, you know, usually they let those ones slide. You know, they don't judge. Like, if even if you're 10 yards past the wide receiver, it's like,
or
you know, maybe the guy could have ran it down. I don't know.
I mean, that second grounding, let's be honest, man, just take the sack. Like, yeah, you can't throw a ball to your lineman. I mean, that was almost like, I'm still not, I couldn't believe they didn't review that. Like, I'm not convinced that wasn't a lateral.
Yeah.
I mean, you absolutely can't do stuff like that.
And one of these days, he is going to make a boo-boo pass to a defensive lineman if he keeps on doing some of this stuff. Yeah. And it's going to be a pick six.
I mean, yeah, we're saying, you know, throw the ball deep. You know, if you got to take a sack, that's better than just being careless with the ball and just tossing it up there.
Yeah. If you're going to get a sack, you know, wrap it up and go down.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't let him punch it out of your hand, but go down and you live to play another down, man.
And I've seen,
and our defense has been good.
Yeah. And I've seen Tom Brady, I've seen Peyton Manning, both of those guys I've seen just take a sack when, you know, a guy comes in, they don't want to get hurt and they just drop.
I mean, CJ, he did that last year against Georgia, man. Yeah. So blitzer came in, you know, unabated, and he's just like, no, I'm not getting hit here.
Yeah.
So I'm going down. I mean, that's a smart thing to do.
Yeah. Go down, live to see another down and whatever.
Don't put the ball in danger.
And just the last thing on McCord, I just want to get in there, and I'm not going to beat Day up this year for it, just like I wasn't going to beat Day up in 2021 about this, because, you know, you have a new guy you're breaking in. They got to get as many reps as they can. Last year, when you already knew what CJ was, and there were some games they could have got McCord in there in the third quarter, I think he gets maybe a little too much in his head that, hey, I want this guy to go win a Heisman or whatever and like that. And, you know, in Toledo game and some of these other, you know, crap Big Ten games,
Toledo was coaching malpractice all around,
like,
man.
The third quarter, like, if CJ comes out and beats Michigan and looks really good and has basically the year he does, and maybe a couple less touchdowns because he wasn't in there some third quarters, the dude's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Like, yeah, he doesn't need to, you don't, like, the Heisman committee does not care, like, what this guy is doing against Toledo in the third quarter. Like, you know, they've already turned the game off by that point.
Right.
So, like, you know, you got to get some opportunities in some of these games to get your backup in there and some real quality time where he can throw the ball. Bring in
McCord actually threw a touchdown to Ballard at the Toledo game, but I get what you're saying,
though. But bringing some of these guys in with like 5 minutes left in the game, where you're just going to be giving them the hand off the ball, is not really doing any favors. Like, you can tell that, you know, yes, and I wish he was getting better at this point. And it's debatable, because in some areas I think he's doing okay, in other areas I don't think he's improving. But, you know, it would have been nice to in him in some game time, real game time experience, where he had to, you know, sit back in the pocket and throw it a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it would have been nice maybe to get there. So, you know, going forward, you know, whoever your starter is next year, you got to get the backup in a little bit more than what they're doing. Like, I'm sorry that they gotta play these guys. Like, you gotta be able, and it's just see where they're at too. Just so you can critique them a little bit in the off season. Like, okay, you got in 4 or 5 games last year in the third quarter, and you know, this is the stuff you're doing good. Keep working on that. And this is the stuff you're not that good at, and that you got to improve on.
He had 20 pass attempts all season last year.
So, I mean, you could easily have gotten a lot more than that.
He had 38 in 21. Like, it was just no need for not getting out on the field. But I mean, this is what we've said about Day, and we said about Meyer previously. So it's something they got to get better at. No. Got to get these guys reps. Like that Toledo game, I mean, what they won like 70-7 or something like that. 77-7. I mean, they killed Toledo, and CJ Hicks didn't even get a linebacker snap in that game.
But even with Urban, like I feel like when you think back to the 2017 season, I feel like, you know,
leading up. Like, I feel like they got Dwayne in there a few times.
I mean, if you remember,
and they got Burrow in there a couple times before he got
hurt. Burrow was hurt to start the year. Got him in once he got healthy. But yeah, if you remember, I mean, they torch Army, and like CJ comes in the last couple, or CJ, the Dwayne comes in the last couple of drives. I mean, he looks great. And yeah, I can't remember. I know Burrow came in a couple times. He might play against Illinois.
And I know they got Tate in at different times, and, you know, 18.
I mean, Tate went 10 for 10 against Rutgers, yeah, and had a 70-yard touchdown run.
Like, you know, I think that this is just what I'm saying. It just seems like Urban was a little bit more of getting guys in.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I'm like, they don't need every single rep, man. I mean, if they're throwing the ball 30 times in game and they got the reps with the ones during practice, like, it's gonna build up, but you gotta get the guys. I mean, what happens if CJ gets hurt, you know?
No,
like, Kyle's never, you know, hardly thrown the ball all year. Like, just give him a chance to get comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and I don't know, and after week 8 or 9 and you've played 8 games, I don't know how much of an excuse you can use it now for his performance.
No, but I think there's just some
things, but he could have came in a little bit more confident, I think,
and then maybe.
Because that could have grown.
Because I think there is spots where he's better now than he was in week 1. So maybe if he was,
I don't subscribe to the whole notion that he's the same guy he was against Indiana.
Like, so I he think isn't. So like, I think if he had some experience prior to Indiana, then, you know, he would have been a little farther along, so that he might be a little farther along now than he is then.
Yeah.
Like, still doesn't mean that I think that he will ever be CJ or Justin, but, you know, I just think that playing him a little bit more last year would at least got him a little better feel for the game, and he could maybe be a little farther ahead now than he is.
And just because he's not CJ or Justin or Dwayne, he's probably, like, if he's not a first round pick, that doesn't, I mean, I think he's still an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Down the road, he needs to refine his game, though.
And if in some of those games that didn't matter, if he would have had maybe been nonchalant in the pocket last year a little bit in the third quarter, and maybe had some of those grounding penalties, and maybe fumbled the ball a little bit more, maybe he'd be a little bit better.
Stuff to learn from.
Prepared for it for this year, to the where he knows how he needs to behave.
All right, Mike, we're number one in the country. We're not going to talk down on Ryan Day.
Yeah. So, this is where some of the stuff I just was feeling. I think they're fine. It's just that he needs to get a little bit better. I think all around, they just, you know, they need to keep... Hopefully the running game keeps up to where it was this last week. And even in the first half against Penn State, I liked where they were doing, you know, and hell, if that was Trey, you know, and some of those runs in the first half against Penn State, you know, I think they would have been, I mean, I think that running game, you know, was looking good against Penn State.
I think Trey would have went over 100 against Penn State. Yeah. I mean, I know anything could have happened, but some of the plays Mayan hit early, Trey would have gashed them. And I don't think Trey would have made some of the run choices that Maya made in the second half.
Yeah. So, all right, on to Rutgers. Beat big Rutgers.
I know.
So, Shiano,
I don't know much about Rutgers this year. They're 6-2.
Yeah. So they're bowl eligible. You know, I think that they pose some stuff for Ohio State. You know, obviously, you know, what is Shiano? He, you know, they can run the ball well. They bring in a really good defense.
Yeah,
they'll pose some risk for Ohio State's offense.
Their quarterback can run, so this will be an interesting challenge for
him. Yeah, this will be the first time that they really, I think.
I think a guy that prefers to run or is most effective running, because I would even say Talia is probably more of a passer than a runner.
Yeah, so that's a different challenge there. You know what Shiano is going to throw some different things at you. It's special teams, which kind of makes you nervous with how our special teams has looked. So
I don't want to say I'm predicting a touchdown, but I'm kind of feeling that we might be giving up a defensive touchdown.
I mean, where he
special teams touchdown.
I mean, they've blocked a lot of kicks over the years, and like,
I'm more worried about what they hit us on in 2020, like something like a stupid, like, throwback on a punt, you know?
Yeah. So you got to always be expecting some of that stuff against Greg Shiano. And so, you know, I think that it's a good defense. It's a good challenge against our offense, because they'll bring in a good defense. So I'm happy about that. You know,
continuing the challenge, Kyle, is a good thing, you know, especially when you know what you got coming up at the end of the year. Yeah. And I don't know how much of a challenge they're going to have in the 2 weeks after that, you know, so this is going to be a good test for them. And I think the stuff with the running quarterback and them be able to run the ball, let's maybe Knowles try a couple different things against maybe a team that's going to try to really pressure them by running it a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, you definitely, you got to get your depth right, though, because Minnesota runs the ball, too. I don't know what Michigan State does. I don't think they do
anything. I don't think they do anything.
They do nothing. But, you know, you can't go, I'm not going to speak for, I mean, I feel like in 14, we didn't use depth too crazily on the defensive line. I mean, I might be misspeaking there. So I'm not going to say like we got no shot against Michigan. We're just going to be worn to the ground, you know, if they let these guys get the same snaps that they're getting. But it'd be really nice, you know, if there are spots for your Hero Canoes or Caden McDonald or Jaden McKenzie's, you know, more Ty Hamilton in there, just so Mike Hall and Ty Lee can get more breathers, you know, throughout this home stretch.
You know, I could see them maybe, you know, circling the wagons with their guys against Rutgers, but I could see them the following 2 weeks. I think they're going to try to get a lot of guys in those 2 weeks, because I think, you know, unless it's like something absolutely crazy, they should win those two games. I mean, they should win this week too. I don't see any issue with that. And it's the big ones coming up. So I think you got to start prepping for that. So I could see them, you know, rotating a lot of guys, you know, to take some of the stress off of some of our defensive guys' legs and just, you know, be perfect opportunities to do it.
Yeah. And then, I mean, linebackers are what they are. You're rolling with three guys. We know that. Back end, I mean, probably going to be, you know, Proctor and Sonny until you get Lathan back. But, you know, who knows? I mean, there might be room for Malik Hartford in there in some games. You hope so. I'm trying to think who else outside of him, because Jahan Carter's probably still not coming back yet.
I mean, they haven't really talked about it, so I don't know.
I know. I think he might be like start practicing, but I don't think he's like hitting yet. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend like I know. Plus, but you can always get more Jermaine Matthews out there. And, you know, and you got a whole slew of cornerbacks.
And Knowles did say that, you know, they might not bring Matthews in for like interior stuff, but, you know, Igbinosin could probably slide down. I mean, he's a big hitter, big,
strong kid.
Yeah. So, you know, you could have him and Hancock in different spots, maybe playing in more in the slots. And, you know, put Matthews and Burke on the outside. You know, I mean, so that's. Those are always options too.
Yeah, there are options, and then you just hope to get, you know, Ransom back before the big one at the end of the year.
Yeah. So you know, again, I
don't know much about Rutgers.
They're gonna challenge you in spots. I do like that they're going to try to run the ball a little bit more. And so I think that's a good thing. I think it's good to play a quarterback that, you know, because you know what McCarthy, he can do with different things at the end of the year. All this stuff is good practice. Doesn't mean I think that Rutgers can line up and beat Ohio State, but you got to take every little advantage out of a game as you can get. And it's good that, you know, Shiano's defense is going to challenge McCord. And, you know, again, let's see if we can get Trey going. Is Dallin going to play? Let's see if we can get him going. And, you know, is Abuka back this week? And let's get the receivers going. And, you know,
if there is, keep even on building like,
the confidence up towards the end of the year.
Would you play Igbuka in this game 90%? I mean, everyone gets hurt this time of year, but is it even worth it? Like,
no,
give him another week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I would like to see him start getting going.
I would like to see him start getting going too. Like, you know, they're not going to sit Marv unless, you know, as long as he's healthy, because then, you know, they're building him up for
the skill player Heisman. So,
so they're not going to sit Marv. So, you know, he's playing. So I would like to see them get as many receivers in there as possible to maybe take a little, even though he needs to get his numbers, but to maybe take a little bit of the load off of him, so he's not dead tired come here in a few weeks. And, you know, and the more shots he's going to be taking, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So like if Abuka and Carnell and Fleming, if maybe they can take a couple of those shots, the body blows, you know, at least
keep some of the body blows off of Marv through a game would be appreciated too.
All right. Real quick, because we don't got much of a breakdown for Rutgers. So I'm going to say offensive player of the game is going to be Kyle McCord. I don't know if he gets the whole game in there, but it's kind of going to be kind of like a get right game. His dad went to Rutgers. That's his hometown, you know? So I see him going home and putting up big numbers.
Yeah.
For the amount of time he's in the game.
Yeah. I like that one. I think I'll go with Trey. I think Trey is going to continue to build off. But
I wouldn't keep him in that long either.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But, you know, I would let him run it.
Yeah.
Let him. Again, it's good against. He needs to take some body blows against a physical defense.
Yeah.
Too. Like, you know, that, you know, you got a physical one coming up here at the end of the game. So he needs to get his shots in there. You know, I would be more open to maybe playing him more in this game and then maybe giving him off or maybe only playing him a half next week.
Yeah. Like
against Michigan State.
I can see that. Yeah. Get another big game, get your numbers up, but whatever. I mean, if that helps him though, like not everybody, like you don't need to, I don't like, you don't need to be 100% fresh. I know it's nice to have like fresh legs, but he should have fresh legs. You know, he wasn't playing in the games and it was an upper body thing. It wasn't his legs. So, I mean,
against the better defenses that they play, I want to see him going because
I want to see him wearing teams down.
I want to see him be able to build off what he did against Wisconsin.
I agree. Defensive player of the game. I'm going to say, I think they're going to be running a lot. Their quarterback's fast. I'm going to say this is like a JT game because it's going to be a lot of things that he's going to contain the quarterback, not let him get outside and make a lot of plays.
I think similar to what you said, but I'm going to go with Tommy. I really like, you know, there was a couple of those games in there where the linebackers were.
Tommy's starting to play at a high level.
And, like, Steele's looking good too. And I think that, you know, I think this is a game where he's going to really thrive. And again, this is a good test before Michigan, you know, a couple weeks before Michigan. So, you know, with the type of style that Rutgers is going to want to play. So, you know, I think Tommy could be the guy.
All right, let's go around the top 25 real quick. Noon, Kansas State is playing Texas and Texas is a 4-point favorite. I would have expected more. I mean, I guess Kansas State plays everybody tough, though. Texas is home, though. I don't know. I mean, Kansas State's known for, like, mucking it up with everyone. 4 is just, like, I always think when it's something less than, like, you know, 5, I'm like, oh, man, if I'm saying that they're going to win by less than 4, I might as well say Kansas State's going to win outright. But I could see Texas winning this by a field goal. So I think Kansas State covers, but Texas wins.
Yeah, I'll say Texas covers, but I think it will be a tight game. I think they'll win like 6 or 7.
These are supposed to be good games this week, man. Ole Miss plays Texas A&M. It's in Oxford. I'd say Ole Miss is a 3-point favorite. They're 7-1. A&M's 5-3. You know, A&M has that great equalizer, the defensive line, that you never know what's going to happen, but Ole Miss, I think, is the better team. Their offense can actually score, so I'm going to say Ole Miss wins.
Yeah, I agree with that, and they cover.
Yeah. Okay, another noon game. Notre Dame heads to Death Valley, one of the Death Valleys, to play the Clemson Tigers. Notre Dame 7-2, Clemson's 4-4. Clemson is a 3-point dog at home, which, I mean, with the record, I don't think that's a big shocker. I feel like this could be something that, I mean, because Clemson still has a good defense, but I like what Notre Dame does, and I think Clemson's just lost right now. So I think Notre Dame's going to win this.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame's going to win too.
I don't know if they'll cover the 3. I think they will. I'm going to say they cover the 3.
It depends. I mean, Clemson can play physical football, so you know, I don't think they're going to be able to push them around like they were able to push USC around. But you know, Clemson is going to have to muck it up some, and I just think Notre Dame's running game is a lot better than theirs. I don't see then how they're going to be all. And you know, Hartman's going to be, he understands Clemson. He's played them a gazillion times. So this is not going to be anything new, but he actually outside of Wake, it's not Wake Forest he's bringing in.
Yeah, right.
He's bringing in a team that actually can play. It does suck that Mitchell's out for the rest of the year, though. So, you know, that could be
I don't know. I have a hard time imagining Klubnik moving the ball against the Notre Dame defense. I could be way off on that, but I don't know if I see it. Missouri, this is a 3:30 game on CBS. They go to Georgia. So it's in Athens. Georgia's a 15.5-point favorite. I think Georgia wins, but I think Missouri will cover this.
Yeah, I think it's actually going to be a pretty close game.
I think it's going to be close.
You know? And I think with Bowers not there, I mean, I think this is an upset alert game. I like how Missouri's played this year. So I'll say Georgia's going to win, but would not be surprised if Missouri's the team that knocks them off.
I mean, Missouri was handling LSU until the second half of that game. And then LSU has a ton of firepower on offense. Yeah. So if things are clicking for them, of course, you know, if you can't stop their offense and you can't keep the pace, then you're in trouble. But I mean, Missouri should have won that game, though. They should be 8-0 right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm there with you. Okay. Bedlam. Oklahoma State. OU's a 6-point favorite. That's coming off an emotional loss and going to the rivalry game. What do you think?
It's in Stillwater.
Yeah.
Oof, what's Oklahoma State's record?
6-2. They're good.
Yeah.
Ranked 22nd.
Oklahoma State upset.
Okay. I like it. I think it's very possible. You know what? I'll double down with you. I'm going to say Oklahoma State wins that game outright too. Penn State, Maryland. Maryland's on a 3-game skid. It is in College Park, but Penn State's an 8-point favorite. I think Penn State covers. Maryland's lost.
My only thing with this one, I think Penn State wins. I think it's going to be closer to that one because I think, with everything going on right now, I think maybe Penn State's attention is going to be a little too focused.
Oh, shit. I've been in the Big Ten. Excuse me.
Yeah. I think Penn State might be looking ahead.
My apologies. We'll get back to the other Big Ten games here in a minute. Washington, USC at 7:30. They're on the road. They're a 3-point favorite. I mean, I'm imagining a shootout, but I mean, USC's defense is so bad. Don't you think after a while, Washington's just going to break the dam and just unload on these guys? Or do you think USC can pull up the upset here?
Like, I've been going back and forth with this one because I think Washington's defense is very suspect, too.
They've been playing with fire. They might be more like the 02 Buckeyes than the 23 Buckeyes are.
I don't know. Like, I don't like Washington's defense. I like them a little bit more than like USC's defense.
But yeah, I like
it. If Caleb Williams, if he's just on, if they're on, like, this could be a really, I'm going to say Washington just because, you know, I haven't seen USC really be able to do it against a good team yet, but I don't know.
Cover the three?
I don't know. This could be another, like, what did USC beat Cal by 50 to 49. I'll say they're going to win by 3.
I mean, they got the skill points,
but Washington will win by 3. This is going to be like a 50 something game probably.
7:45 on CBS. Alabama host LSU. 7-1 Alabama, 6-2 LSU. Kind of opposite.
Ooh, so CBS has a triple hitter this
week. Triple hitter this week.
That's very interesting.
These are kind of like polar opposite teams. One's offense, one's defense. Alabama is a 3-point favorite. I'll go first. I think LSU is going to pull the upset again. I think they have too much offense, but you know, once things start going bad, it can snowball. So if Alabama's getting stops on defense, getting defensive touchdowns, if there's, you know, breaks in the secondary and Jalen Milroe's just lighting them up on 70-yard bombs down the field,
yeah,
then this game could go the other way. But I'm going to take LSU for this one. I think they're going to upset Alabama.
I'll be opposite on this one. I think Bama's going to beat them. And I think that Alabama could get up on them early in this game, and I don't think they'll be able to do – I don't think LSU is going to come back against that defense like they did against Missouri.
Yeah, I definitely see that. All right, let's head over to the Big Ten minus Penn State game. My apologies. Wisconsin, Indiana at Indiana, excuse me, at 12 o'clock. Wisconsin's a 9.5-point favorite. I think they cover that. Indiana's garbage.
Yeah, if it was a little bit better of an Indiana, but they played Penn State tough last week. And you know how coming off these Ohio State games, how they're interesting, you know.
Indiana, Ohio State's physical, man.
And that's, you know, they did have some injuries last week. I mean, Allen was in a boot, but they knocked isn't their best receiver out? Like, you know.
So. Yeah, actually, I'm kind of interested to see what Braylon Allen's status is. Cause I mean, you know, it didn't look good. He went in a boot. Now they do a lot of precautionary stuff now that, you know, they don't want them stressing their feet and they put them in boots, but I'm interested to see how healthy he is.
So I'll say Wisconsin wins by 10, so they'll cover, but it could be closer than people think on that one. I mean, they did, like I said, Indiana did play Penn State tough, and coming off again, we've seen teams when they come off against Ohio State games, they don't always look that great the next week.
Yeah. Nebraska goes to East Lansing. It's a noon game. Nebraska is a 3-point favorite. They're 5-3. Michigan State's 2-6. I think Nebraska covers this. Matt Rule's been saying a lot of good stuff out in the media recently, and I think that his guys have started buying. I actually wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we got a long way to go. I wouldn't be surprised how things play out if Nebraska can somehow find their way to Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm starting to get there. I mean, they still got a tough one with Wisconsin and Iowa. Those are not going to be easy for them. But I'm kind of getting there that I think that Nebraska could be the team to go to Indianapolis this year. So we'll see. But I think they win this game and they cover.
One win from being bowl eligible. So that's a big step for them.
Yeah.
Illinois, Minnesota, 3:30. It's at Minnesota. Minnesota's a 1.5-point favorite. God, I hate the West games. Yeah, why not? I take Minnesota to win, cover.
Yeah, I don't know. Illinois, this one. Again, like you. It's going to be a bad one.
They're all bad ones.
And so Illinois wins and covers. So
Iowa at Northwestern at 3:30. Iowa's a 5-point favorite.
Wrigley Field.
It's on Peacock, the Wrigley Field game. Yeah. Iowa, I think, will cover. They'll win by more than 5. But they'll win like 7-2. No, I'm sorry. It'll have to be 8-2.
Even though he'll still be there, as we found out this week, though, the Brian Ferentz has been lifted off of their shoulders. Watch them actually go out and score some points.
The Brian Ferentz experience is going to be done. And then finally, 7:30 at Michigan. Michigan-Purdue. Michigan is a 32.5-point favorite. Purdue's bad. I mean, we saw Ohio State beat them up. I think Michigan's more complete than Ohio State right now. Are they distracted? Do they have a chip on their shoulder? Probably a little bit of both, but I don't think it's really going to matter. I think they'll cover.
Yeah, I think they'll cover too. I mean, they had a chip on their shoulder against Michigan State. We saw that.
49-0.
Yeah, so, you know, next week is the interesting one there. You know, we'll see how everything,
when talent's equated,
when everything works out. So we'll see how they look next week, I think. All right.
We're going to Piscataway noon on CBS. Ohio State is an 18.5-point favorite. I see this game playing out. I feel like I'm giving a lot of teams 10 points now. I'm going to say 31 for Ohio State, and I still think, though, that they're going to get at least one drive, and I honestly think they will get a special teams touchdown this week. So I'm going to say 31-14. That is not a cover.
Okay. I'm going to say that I'm going to go 38. I think Ohio State's offense looks pretty good in this game. So, and I'm saying I could see the special teams touchdown too, but I'm going to go 10. I just don't see where Rutgers is going to be able to score on this defense.
And I think consistently. That one drive could be end up being a field goal because they don't have a good offense. Yeah, so, I mean, it very well could be 31-10, but I'll say 31-14. Rutgers gets two touchdowns, but one's a bogus, special teamer.
Yeah. Alrighty.
All right. Well, that's all I got. Anything before we get on out of here?
Nope. I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO. Go Buckeyes.
Go Buckeyes.